One of the most serious things in Christianity today is to be spirit taught. Now listen very carefully. All around us, by sight, we see one continual thing. Pastor Robinson was driving home 2 days ago in the afternoon on a reasonably good day, and the traffic was backed up for an hour and a half. And he saw a very young man in his 20s with a sheet placed over him from a three-car accident that had died right in front of him. The Lord said to the Jewish people, "Thou shalt have a life that will hang in doubt. It'll be filled with anxieties and fear day and night." He said, in the morning you will wish it was evening. In the evening you will wish it morning. That's the spirit of anxiety. Then he said, because of the sight of thine eyes. Jesus said in John 10:4, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger's voice they will not follow." It is said of the Messiah in Isaiah 11 that he would be quickened with understanding. He would not judge by what he saw, and would not reprove by what he heard. The reason that that verse says that of Jesus is because he was so careful that he never heard a stranger's voice. And he refused to make human observations by sight. The reason for this is in the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in this world, there are so many familiar spirits who counterfeit the Holy Spirit. They are sincere spirits, but they are familiar spirits. And they counterfeit the holy work of God. They establish a person's understanding through observation. They try to establish our capacity and habits of listening. And for Christians that know God well, these familiar spirits hide themselves, disguise themselves, and do not reveal themselves. They are in every single family in the ancient today, also in the ancient kingdoms. Every family in the ancient kingdoms had one in 2 Kings, an image which was a front for a demon, which was a familiar spirit. It was so familiar in Saul's day that in 1 Samuel 28:7 he told his servant to go and find a woman with a familiar spirit. Jesus said in Psalm 41:9 that mine own familiar friend kicked his heels against me. He walked with me, talked with me, watched me, observed me, but there was no real relationship that he ever had with me. For 3 years we ate together, prayed together, and he ministered with me and went when I sent him out. But he always had a familiar spirit toward me, even though he obeyed me. There are more familiar spirits in high places today, because the demon that is the demon of high things is the demon of familiar spirits. Hupsoo. The demon of familiar spirits, or the head demon that takes charge over familiar spirits. The demon that's in control of the dust of the earth tries to be in control of the senses of individuals, to take over their senses, so that through their senses he can affect their lust patterns from the dust of the earth and tries to get them to cleave. And he is the head demon of the dust. Now, as we consider these stories from the Word of God, which are quite unique, There is therefore the constant principle of undefined fear. It isn't something that is always monitoring your soul. But when you hear that somebody has a terminal disease, some terrible thing has happened to a large group of people, resident within our soul is a law of fear. It doesn't necessarily do a deep work to destroy us, but it intensifies the aging process, disintegrates our capacity for spiritual dynamics and spiritual reality. And that is why the Lord says, judge not by appearance, walk not by sight. And then this very crucial subject that we want to say tonight. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, Jesus walked in the midst of the candlesticks. Why? In the seven churches. For one reason. As he did tonight. Just for one reason. Anthropopathically, it was to take the attendance. But practically, it went far deeper. Because of the book he's writing of all those that assemble in his name in Malachi 3:16, there is an anthropopathic meaning, but the real meaning behind it is testing people's capacity to hear. The key thing in the Bema Seat of Jesus Christ is how we heard the Word of God. One cannot live by every single word of God unless they hear it. One cannot understand the whole counsel of God unless it's preached to them. The one thing that the judgment seat of Christ will be more than any other thing is, I sent my servants, I gave you your believer priesthood to read the Word of God, and I made sure you heard a lot of things. But how did you hear? I've told you that eye hath not seen, neither ear hath heard what is entered into the heart of man. But God has prepared them for them that love him. Special revelations. And even as the spirit of a man is the only thing that can know the things of a man, even so the Spirit of God is the only thing that can know the things of God. And the Holy Spirit takes those things in John 16 from God and shows them to us. And we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:12. And that is why we compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So here's the key. Until my hearing is anointed, I will never be able to be spirit taught. Until my hearing is anointed through the reverence I have for the presence of God, I will never be spirit taught. And if I'm not spirit taught, I cannot overcome the world. No matter how faithful I am and sincere in the stimulation of life in being scripturally taught. Thousands and thousands of Christians are Bible taught, but they are not spirit taught. This evening and this morning we illustrated what it meant to be spirit taught. We will not reiterate it, only for a minute. A person who has anointed ears, who is so humble that they do not think highly of themselves, nor lowly of themselves, nor anything of themselves, and so meek that everything God does is okay. And for that reason, the meek will he teach, and the humble will hear, because they are spirit taught. That is why the priest would take the oil in his hands, on his left hand, and anoint seven times before the Lord. In the 17th verse, he would anoint the right ear, and the right thumb and the right toe. The anointing of hearing through the Spirit and the thumb, the application of that word with an anointed service and anointed obedience. And the right toe, an application of divine thinking in our behavior, in the details of life. Anointed hearing. Anointed obedience. And anointed deliverance through our behavior. Now, as we think of this tonight, the cosmic system has established a course of this world according to the principality of the powers of the air. They have established a certain course for people that aren't anointed in their hearing. One of the things that happens is there is no deliverance outside of being anointed in our hearing. It's impossible to be spirit taught outside of having an anointing to hear. Now here's the tremendous spirit of counterfeit. Just like there is another Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11 and another body, a substitute for body life, which is codependency in dysfunctional families. Just like there's another gospel that isn't grace, another spirit that isn't the Holy Spirit, and that's a familiar spirit making something familiar, unfamiliar to you because of a blind spot and because it habitually has been your familiar spirit. Every single family in the history of creation has a familiar spirit. It's not an overt idol, but it's a front for a demon that hypnotizes and then leaves that family. The Word of God says that Satan loves to get people to live in the law of fear, as Job did in 3:25. Satan wants people to have doubt hang on their life, because there's death all around them. Disease, heartbreak, and sorrow. He wants them to say, in the morning, I wish it was evening, and in the evening, I wish it was morning. A man came in our church from Washington recently, and he didn't leave. And somebody, I was counseling somebody in the office with my wife, and they said, see that man sitting there about a long time after the service ended. And he said, I like it here, do I have to go? Come to find out, he's a businessman from Washington that has cancer. And he just got saved the Sunday prior to this Wednesday night. And he said, it's so peaceful here. Ever since I found out I had cancer, and I lost my wife 2 years ago with cancer, in the morning I wish it wasn't morning, in the night I wish it wasn't night. That's what he said. Doubt was hanging on his life. He was living by what he saw with his eyes, cancer. And it brought anxiety. And that's all that he understood and all he really knew. It is an amazing thing when you realize that familiar spirits do everything in their power to keep us from hearing properly the Word of God, because only by hearing the Word of God can the faith come in. Adoration, devotion, desire, morality, self-righteousness, and human good can never one single time prepare me for the trials ahead. No matter how moral I am, it cannot prepare me for what's coming before I meet Jesus. And certain events will release a familiar spirit of fear. And that is why, even though it's disguised, that Hebrews 2:14 says, all of their lifetime they are in subject to bondage because of the fear of death. I want you tonight to think with me. As the Holy Spirit moves in every one of your assembly meetings, and Jesus walks in your midst, including us pastors, to see how we're hearing from heaven. I will guide thee and instruct thee with mine eye. And Psalm 32:8, be not as a horse or a mule that does not have understanding. I will instruct thee with mine eye. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Holy Spirit. The familiar spirit in marriage is self-destructive. The familiar spirit rearing children can be devastating at times. The familiar spirit in friendships. The familiar spirit between churches. Disguised, hidden, concealed, and covered. But so many times it's there. Because every church has a familiar spirit, just like every family has a familiar spirit. And every nation has a familiar spirit, such as in Daniel 10:13 and 10:21. Satan's effort to bring another spirit and call it the Holy Spirit. Usually self-righteousness happens in people's lives when they are Bible taught. This being Bible taught gives me a knowledge that puffs me up. And this knowledge, the Word of God says, we all have knowledge toward idols. Paul writing to the Corinthians. But knowledge puffs up, but love, the work of the Holy Spirit with that knowledge, builds up, edifies, and gives hope. He said, do I have to go? I know I do. But it's so peaceful here. Ever since Sunday when I was saved. The familiar spirit of fear had left him since his wife died 2 years ago. And since he heard he had cancer a month ago. Now listen carefully. What we are under will determine the measure of our capacity for our lives. 7 months ago, a woman called me up through a woman that works with her. And she'd been beaten by her husband every Friday night. He beat her until blood would come sometimes from her teeth. I couldn't figure out why she wouldn't go to the police. Because that kind of abuse shouldn't be accepted. And Friday night after Friday night, she lived in fear because of what she was under. Some of the folks, a couple of the men, went over and invested in this man, and she would not turn him in, and he got gloriously saved. And they kept church 3 times a week, raps. And she smiled a week ago and said, I'm not under the fear of being beaten anymore. She says he stopped his drinking, and that's what caused it. I'm under God's love in my home, Pastor, for the first time in 18 years. What we are under will determine the capacity for our life. What we are under. And thanks be to God, we're under grace and not under law. And the Holy Spirit anoints our ears, and this is the way it goes. I was asked briefly to give it to this audience. The pastor opens the Bible and he preaches on the subject of God's love. Often the familiar spirit subconsciously will turn off your faculties because you've heard it. But the Bible says we don't know a single thing as we ought to know it, not one single thing. You never say to any pastor, thanks for reminding me. That's arrogant, hypocritical, and unscriptural. You don't know a thing today like you could today until you're taught today through the anointing of God today. Because of the problems in life and the details of life that crowd out the living experience of knowledge. To be Bible taught is a world apart from being spirit taught. God will never teach anybody beyond scriptures unless they're meek and unless they are humble. Never. It is very easy to be Bible taught, just like it would be easy to take a course in accounting or medicine or a secretarial course. But it's another thing to have anointed ears and to be careful how we hear and what we hear and to be Spirit taught through the oil of God's Spirit. Listen carefully. We open the Bible and the pastor once a year goes to 1 Corinthians 13. Your subconscious mind turns it off. Your conscious mind respects it, appreciates it. It's the Word of God. The pastor opens up and he says, if I had all the faith that could remove mountains and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And the Holy Spirit says to you in the inner ear while he says that verse, do you understand what my love has done for you? You could have all the faith to heal the sick, but if you don't have the love of the Spirit, it would profit you nothing. If I give my body to be burned in human good and was willing to sacrifice my own life for others, but did not have the motivation and charity of the Holy Spirit as the energizing force, I would be nothing. And the Holy Spirit says, do you understand? Everything has to do with the Holy Spirit teaching you, the Holy Spirit loving through you, and the Holy Spirit loving by you. And anything short of that profits you nothing. And you begin to come into the throne room of your heart, of the Spirit-filled teaching of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is taught to you in the power of the Spirit, and it becomes God's life. And then the pastor says, oh, listen to me. He says, love covers sins. It doesn't repeat a matter to friends. He says it's a roof to every single thing that goes wrong in your life. And then the pastor says, charity never fails. And the Holy Spirit said, don't look into your past, but you remember what you've been saved from. I didn't fail you, did I? And you're being Spirit taught, well, these men, you're not familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. You've come alive, and the oil of God anoints your capacity, and you are God-conscious, love-conscious, grace-conscious, appreciative, thankful, praising God, and being moved toward Jesus in worship with everything He says. Your heart is elevated in worship. You are Spirit taught. You're not clock-conscious or heat-conscious. You're God-conscious. And oh, you're being taught something that's been planned for you for that night to enter into your heart for the internalization of God's impartation of life. And the Spirit says, where tongues they will cease, the knowledge it will cease. Prophecies will fail and cease. But charity will not. And the Spirit says, oh, in your family life, in your marriage, with your kids, with your friends, with your pastors, with other churches, and with situations at your work, quietly be still and know that I am God. And let the love of Jesus Christ be shed abroad in the throne room of your heart. And the Spirit ministers to you inside, and you are falling in love with what the pastor is saying. And then that produces corporate faith feels. Instead of familiar spirits causing unrest, distractions, people that are prohibited in listening because of distractions in the air, and it's not even their fault. Now faith feels are spreading out. And that precious woman last night that had herpes and her organs were swollen and she had such pain, and she told a certain person here tonight, a pastor here tonight, that last night in the beginning of pastor's message, the swelling went down, the pain went, it's been plaguing me for days. And that woman, Marilyn, that threw away her crutches, corporate faith feels in Tacoma. Corporate faith feels building the virtue of the Word being manifested in the life of the invisible God expressing Himself with the dynamic energy and vibrations of His own nature, rather than receiving the vibrations of the air so people would feed on the wind in Hosea 12:1 from the demons of hell trying to get us to feel negative energy. But instead our hypothalamus and our pituitary receives this amazing divine vibrations in the energy fields up to 36 billion per second. And all of a sudden, in the most unusual way, our body and central nervous system begins to receive, without anything in particular by way of sensations, but it begins to receive something that is just plain relaxing and quiet and wonderful, and our soul is still, and we're not occupied with doubt or fear or worries in the subconscious world of our unconscious mind. And Jesus begins to move, and we've learned, oh, to have the anointed hearing and to mix faith with that amazing presence of God and to let Him do something deep every single service because of His love and because of His availability and because of His compassion and because of His power and through His ability. And all of a sudden, the ability of God goes to work. Now, my congregation comes back Sunday night. Now they come back Wednesday night. The crowds are full. The visitors keep coming back. There's a hunger that this creates. Being biblically taught is wonderful, but being spirit taught with the Word of God is unbelievable. And something incomprehensible and without understanding definition takes place by God. And it's the God factor that cannot be explained in the rationalization of human nomenclature. I want you to think tonight. They were afraid. It was the fourth watch. The storm was raging. And they saw somebody in the midst of the storm, and picture it in the heart of your mind. And these frightened disciples, and some of you were with us on that particular place where this happened. And it was dark, and the winds were fierce. And they saw what they thought was a spirit. Oh, what sight does. Genesis 28:16, with Jacob, he said, "The Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it." People are going to find out. They're going to find out they've left sometimes some of the most spirit-filled ministries of the world, and they didn't know it was God's work all the time. At the Bema Seat, they'll discover it was fully fledged, fully endorsed by God. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I." And Peter said, "If it's really you, would you bid me to come?" And Jesus said, "Come." And he came. His eyes were upon this beautiful Christ in the midst of the storm. The supernatural walk, the anointing of the feet, the obedience of the ear, the anointing of obedience in the thumb. He was walking by faith and not by sight. And Jesus was saying, "See, he can do it. He can do it. He's walking by faith and not by sight. His life isn't hanging on doubt in this storm. There is no familiar spirit preventing his progress." I don't care how bad your storm is in the marriage. Jesus is saying, "Come in your marriage. Walk on the troubled waters in your marriage toward me. Come on. I'll hold you up in the marriage. I'll love you through it. Come if you have a terminal disease, if you have genetical problems in the corporation of degeneration in your genetical cells in your body. Come. Despite whatever your past reflects to you, come. Just simply come and keep coming." But the wind blows and the raging waves elevated against Peter's shoulders and his body, and he began to feel the power of the storm, and it was so forceful and so strong, but he was standing up all right, and his eyes were on Jesus. Then all of a sudden the force of the wind and the waves were so terrific that he looked at them and he began to sink. But momentarily, He said, Lord, save me, and God did. Now listen carefully. There isn't a storm or a trouble in our life that coming to Jesus will not solve the problem. Doesn't matter how we feel the raging waves and the winds against our body and the darkness of that hour when it seems that not one single release or relief comes. Our Lord will give us everything we need in that moment. He will anoint our ears and our obedience and our application and our walk of faith. Doubt cannot take over where faith is warming our souls with the presence of God. And neither can fear do anything to coexist when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We have more than the teaching of the Bible and the teaching of scriptures and the teaching of categories as sacred and precious as that is. We have the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and ushering into our capacity of life and into our soul the very life of God. And we don't discuss the three dimensions of time. We enjoy the present moment with all of its hope, with all of its provision, and with all of its help, and all of its comfort, and all of its ability and power. And we begin to please and glorify Jesus as we walk by faith. Judy here, and Pastor Morrison was involved with Mary Hennessy, who took care of some children many years ago. One of the kids she took care of, his name was Susan. Susan went into sin. She had three different babies from, I guess, three different men. Now at the age of 30, tonight she has bone cancer. Her family didn't want her. And Mary got a call, and she called Judy, and Judy's in this business and placed her and has helped her, and Judy led her to Jesus Christ. And Susan is 30, a shipwrecked life, and Judy was able to take this glorious good news that God loves you, and Susan received it with such amazing response and absolute total convictions that she was loved by Jesus and by Judy. And began to realize what this man from Washington did. There isn't one thing in all this world that can touch the power of God's life being expressed in a soul, even if she has bone cancer at the age of 30. Many of you heard the testimony of Bird for the ball team recently on national television. When this courageous man who was 280 pounds went into his 320 pound teammate and looked up and saw he had no movement in his body, and he said, the thing that you always fear has happened to me. I can't move it. And he knew he was paralyzed. And the doctor put his hand under his head until they came to remove him. And then all of a sudden, he wondered, what will I say? I've always picked up my daughter and threw her around and loved her and played with her. I don't want her to see me because I can't even feel and move or touch her. I can't even move my fingers. I think the sweetest part of this story is when the daughter came in the hospital to visit her daddy. She said, Daddy, I've come to visit you. And she touched his face and kissed it. That was the only part he had feeling. And she started, she said, I'm here to minister to my daddy today. Well, of course, through courage in Jesus Christ, he has a very strong faith in Jesus Christ and a very dedicated wife that wouldn't receive sight or doubt or fear. And he said, I never had one single doubt or fear that I would be paralyzed forever, like they said. And like Susan's testimony tonight during the dinner hour, who's such a courageous person from South Berwick, now he's walking and even jogged to the mailbox last week He said, I never had one doubt that I wouldn't walk again. It seems to me that the law of the Spirit of life can come with great power against the law of sin, as it causes death to work in our bodies. Is it any wonder that Isaiah, the 10th chapter and the 26th verse, talks about the anointing that breaks the yoke? All the counterfeits of Satan, the angel of light, a grace gospel mixed with works, body life that isn't body life at all. Do you know, this is what I've discovered in 40 years of preaching, that the most healing force in the entire world is when a person with suicidal problems begins to experience, in the quietness and privacy of their own decisions and according to their own desire, the manifestation of body life. When a dear friend who's here tonight called me from Massachusetts recently and told me what was going on with his family, then we went to check it out. We've had 12 people that have come from outside ministries who all had seeds of suicide. And it wasn't even my preaching that delivered them at first. It was people in the body who are wholesome and healthy and loving, and who unassumingly took their hands in quietness without any particular ministerial effects to it, but just as a dear friend, and walked them through a capacity of 3 to 4 or 5 months until the person forgot what they were like and no longer had the bondage to their problems. Corporate body life is the fullness of Jesus Christ that brings the law of the Spirit of life in the portions of that particular body, and that's why you should have rap sessions, and that's why you should enter into body life, and that's why I love what some of the churches are doing. Women meeting and praying for the high school and the kids and the children, and women meeting all over the church in different sections with their prayer meetings, and men meeting and putting prayer ahead of everything before they begin to have an exchange, and prayer begins to motivate that corporate body church, and they begin to manifest the corporate faith fields, and these folks that have the seeds of suicide and devastating emotional problems, in whom their life hangs on doubt, and they wish morning was evening and evening was morning, and they have little hope if they face the reality of sight, reason, and these individuals begin to feel a sense of amazing unconditional love, and all of a sudden the fullness of Jesus Christ on earth is manifested to them, not just in an assembly meeting in service night, but a literal living manifestation of body life. In the grace of faith rest, in the joy of diversity of portions, in the amazing magnification of the Spirit of the Word, in the principles of love. How many understand it? It's called body life. And by the way, if you have people that fall in love with it, that's why they fall in love with it. Because corporate faith fields go to work, and people aren't even conscious that they're doing it. Wow. Have you ever been around people? You all have. And you've gone away saying, I don't know what it is about that guy, about those women. I go away feeling great when I came in. Who cared about life? See, they had body life without anybody being self-conscious of it, being manifested and poured out into their very soul without any apparent ministry from that person. Satan uses bad experiences as his armor and weaponry against God's kingdom. Satan uses sick emotions as a weapon against God's local assembly. Satan uses depression as a weapon against God's local assembly. By the way, if you have these things, keep coming to God's assembly. This isn't negative toward you. Of course, we all have some of those at times, and they approach us in different ways. And this isn't diagnosing you in a negative way, because what you have, we all have similarly, believe me. But Satan wants it to be his weapon to stop the Word of God from being Spirit-taught and developing capacities in the local assembly to develop amazing corporate faith fields. Now listen, Jesus Christ is so sacred and so precious that in Portland, Maine, and some of you I imagine were with us that night, in Portland, Maine, we were on top of that hill praying. Then we went down, and I went with a couple as we ministered to some of the prostitutes. And as we ministered to this one, she said, "Jesus cannot love me." I can tell you exactly who he is. You used to fellowship with this woman. And that woman got saved that night and moved to our area and became a pure woman of God, and today is on the mission field. What happened to that woman who in Portland, Maine was a prostitute? Jesus Christ visited her with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ cleansed her, purged her, delivered her, came into her life, taught her, walked with her, talked with her, supped with her, loved her, forgave her, developed her, built her up, edified her, wouldn't let her go. Everywhere she went, he went. He said, "Honey, I love you. And by the way, I'm calling you by your first name. And you'll know my voice because it's sweet and comfortable and peaceable." Every time I think of her on the mission field today, not just her, but Billy Bell. Billy Bell said, "If God would do something to me, I'd get saved." He said, "If only God would do something to me, I'd get saved." And I said, "Well, I'll pray that God will do something wonderful for you." We were at Mr. Donut, not Duncan's, Mr. Donut. So we prayed and we wished him the best. He said, "If God would," and he came down in 10 days with scarlet fever. And he called me up, scarlet fever. And this is what he said. "Why did you pray like that?" I said, I've never prayed that God would hurt a person in my life. I said, "I prayed that God would bless you and do you good. And you said, I wish he'd do something to me. And he answered your prayer and didn't answer mine." I said, "I defined it would be a blessing, and you defined anything. You should never have said anything." He said, "Will you come over?" And I said, "No, not until the doctor gives me clearance. I'll talk with you for hours on the phone." But I'll never forget that 29-year-old man who stood up and gave testimonies, who said, quote, "If there's a God, he can strike me down and I'll believe him." 8 days, a heart attack at the age of 29. His wife called me. She was a lovely Christian. And I went to the hospital. He was flat in his bed and he reached out his little hand. He said, "Your God really works quickly, doesn't he?" I said, "We never pray." Well, I said, what did you have to say strike me down for? Why don't you say, "Give me mercy and show me, say even show me a light," but don't say, "Strike me down." He answered your prayer. But I said, "I'll guarantee you'll be all right," because I said, "I have a hunch you want to get saved right now." And he cried and sobbed and couldn't hardly speak. He said, "Right now, Pastor," he said, "isn't this funny? The only place I can look is up." I said, "Don't you ever pray again." And by the way, if a person's unsaved and mad at God, whatever you do, don't say, "Strike me down." Say, "Give me mercy, give me a blessing, and save me by grace, and bless me right now." And God will honor you, but you better not dictate how he should do it. The only two cases in my life where a fellow got scarlet fever and got a heart attack and got saved and gloriously saved and baptized and became a soul winner with us on Monday and Saturday nights. I hope it never has to come that way again. I guess it did with Harry, come to think about it. Now, Jesus did not walk. The Lord did not walk by what he saw. He didn't judge by what his sight saw, and he didn't reprove by what he heard. Why? Because so many strangers' voices. cosmic evangelists. People that are Bible taught that are not spiritually broken. Even they are strangers' voices. People with familiar spirits and idols in their family, and they'd be angry if you ever pointed them out. The idol is a front for a demon at one time that tried to destroy that family. And you study it in 2 Kings 19, 20, and 21, and exegete it and look it up and get it all for yourself. When Josiah took the images and smashed them from all the families. An image there means family idol, which in Colossians 3, 5, and Psalm 96 has to do with an idol, the front for a demon. What do? They come in to get us familiar with our lives. Stimulated, sincerely committed. But commitment without God's love is not commitment. Grace without obedience is not sanctification. Forgiveness without forgetting is not divinely executed. Hearing and not applying is not victory. Knowing but not being released is not being spirit taught into faith obedience. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you have not received Jesus Christ, and you'd like to say, Father, forgive me, cleanse me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart to live. For by grace you save through faith and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Would you please put up your hand quietly? I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, personally, come into my heart by grace through faith tonight. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection, and I want to be saved. Raise your hands and put it way up high. Way up. Father, tonight we thank you for this beautiful response in the Word of God. And tonight, as the Word of God has gone forth, bless relationships and marriage and families, and bless individual husbands and individual wives with new dimensions of being spirit taught through the anointed ear. And bless corporate faith fields as we fellowship around Jesus Christ and have Him between us. And tonight, in the quietness of this hour, deliver from the habit of sin. Sin is such a familiar spirit. Lustful habits, self-righteousness, pride, pornography, drug addiction, fantasies, familiar spirits, defrauding in sex in the marital bed, familiar spirits, talking behind people's back with sarcastic statements, satanically stimulated familiar spirits. Oh God, deal with these spirits tonight with your Holy Spirit and with your Word. The word quicken means to be renewed with God instantly in His Word, to be repaired instantly and to be restored instantly in the area that I was not in fellowship with God. That's what quicken means. So quicken us in the body and soul and mind according to the Word of God. And may our commitment be with love. And may our faith be with obedience. And may our understanding be with application. And may our hunger be with God consciousness. And may our submission be to the cross. And bless tonight with the glorious presence of humility and meekness instead of rationalization, instead of elevating ourselves in scriptural systems and biblical teaching alone, without the humility and meekness of brokenness and a laid down life in the power of Calvary's love. Heal bodies and heal mightily tonight. Bones and muscle and blood, and heal bodies in a very particular way tonight, and give victory over discipline in areas of familiar spirits. Discipline. Discipline through the grace of God. Discipline in getting offended. Discipline in paranoia. Discipline in fear of drawing near. Strike it out tonight with the loving presence of God in a manifestation of Jesus Christ. And we thank you in His name. Amen. Would you stand?